taking flight. Every story, every fight. Full of breakdown every night.
What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday, September 3rd, 2024. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown Podcast. I about said the wrong podcast. Boiler Breakdown Podcast.
You just did too many.
Jeez. Is live on the air on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page and YouTube channel. Please give us a like, subscribe, follow, hit that notification bell. Smash that like button. Isn't that what the kids say? Smash that like button. Hit that notification bell. I don't know my lingo. Webby, what's going on?
Happy to be here, Tan. It's the most Monday feeling Tuesday ever.
Oh, that's what I'm blaming for this horrible intro here. Yeah, I've thought it was Monday so many times today. I thought yesterday was Sunday. It's going to be one of those weeks.
You texted me to confirm the time, and I was like, my head was like, why is he asking me today? He's got another podcast. And I'm like, oh no, it's Tuesday.
Yep. But I'm pumped to talk about a Boiler victory. That's something we only did four times last football season. Mm-hmm. Now we get to do it right off the bat after one game. Boilers took care of business and more over the Sycamores Saturday, leaving no doubt in a 49-0 victory.
Yeah, I mean, it's going into it. It's kind of what we were hoping for. You know, you never know with week one. You know, year two of a new coach against an FCS opponent, you know, I mean, you just never know. But, I mean, what we're hoping for is the Boilers would, one, come out healthy, and two, kind of just leave no doubt, take care of business, and not give a inferior team some life towards the end of the game, which it was, you know, you can even argue that it was, what, 21-0 at half, and it probably should have been around 35-0 if not for some really stupid penalties, which I'm sure we'll get into. That's probably the only thing you can really nitpick from this game. But otherwise, it was, you know, it was a beautiful day. It was a hot one. But it was going to be back on a, you know, damn near full Ross aid for a team coming off a 4-8 season, predicted to be last in the Big Ten. But you wouldn't have known by the attendance. It was pretty awesome. And given the fact that it was, you know, a holiday weekend, you know, so it was really cool.
Yeah, shout out to all of Boiler Nation. They showed up. They were loud. Mm-hmm. Saturday, like you said, 59,449 in the seats at Rossi, the most for a season opener since the 2005 season opener against Akron. Mm-hmm. Which, just shout out to Purdue, man. It's a lot of other schools in the same boat don't have that fan support.
Mm-mm. No,
there's another school in the state down south didn't have that fan support on Saturday, and their season opener and their coach, kind of threw a dagger at the fan base right away.
I didn't even hear that. But
he said along the lines of, you know, show up, stay at the game. Let's create a real football environment. Because mm-hmm. I know it was very hot. Don't get me wrong, on Saturday. But by the halfway through the third quarter, that crowd at Memorial Stadium really cleared out.
So, yeah.
So, but no, it was a great day. Like you said, very little to nitpick, some penalties, which we'll talk about, and a fumble. But besides that, a clean game, got out of the game pretty injury-free. I mean, maybe a few guys got some nicks, cuts, bruises, but nothing substantial. So, I felt good about it. I mean, I think we were not too far off with our predictions. We both gave Indiana State some points.
Yeah.
But what's it meant to be? I don't know what you think, but I can't recall a team ever coming into Ross-Ade and throwing, what, 10 passes?
It was 10. Yeah, that was – I looked up at one point, like, in the third quarter at the scoreboard to see just kind of what the stats were. And I was like, they've thrown, like, six times. I couldn't believe it. Like, it was – and – the passes they did throw, it's not like they were going, not like they were testing Purdue or anything like that. It was like just kind of dinks and dump offs. And as you said, like their coach had talked about, they wanted to try to establish the run and they couldn't do that. And had as I think someone put, I don't know if it was on the board or whatever, but it sounded like they just said, we'll take our 500 grand and we'll just get the hell out of here.
Exactly. That's what it felt like. Like, I don't know if they just figured, okay, we're not going to be able to run against Purdue. We're just going to, we're not going to be able to throw against Purdue. So we're just going to run. Or if they, I don't know. That was really puzzling. I don't know. I thought they might at least try some passes the first series or two just to see. I mean, even if it's just get a pass interference penalty, if nothing else, but whatever. Hey, to each their own. They only won one game last year, and they looked like a team that did so.
Yeah. So. Shout out to their band, though. It was cool that they brought their band. They really
yeah, that's a big fun. Deal for them. Big yeah. deal for them. I don't know. Let me look at their schedule. I don't know if they play another big opponent. They play at Eastern Illinois this week, then Dayton at home. No, this was their big, yeah. their big game. So
I'm surprised they didn't play at least one more. I mean, just from a financial standpoint.
Maybe they just weren't able to, because I still don't know, you know, how that scheduling arrangement worked with Purdue shifting the game around. And
that's true. Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
So, who did they beat last year? Now I'm just trying to find. Oh, they beat Western Illinois last year, 21-0. So, where are you saying Western Illinois hadn't won a game since 2021?
Yeah, I think the last time they won. Was like October of 2021. They've lost 25 going from the end of that season to this season. They've lost like 25 straight, but they are 0-22 in the last two complete seasons.
And they play at Indiana this weekend, yeah. which we'll predict that game later. Ray Davis on Facebook, team down south fans are used to leaving in third, not used to being on the winning end at that point.
Yeah.
That's true. They're going to really, I think, for that fan base to show up and continue showing up, they're going to have to upset a big team.
Yeah.
Or have a marquee win at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that fan base to buy in. So, but so going back to the Purdue Indiana State game, Purdue had 27 first downs on Saturday compared to Indiana State's 11. It is surprising for Indiana State going 5-for-10 passing. Three of their first downs were through the air. So, three of their five completions did get first downs. They also had 6 rushing first downs. Purdue had 12 rushing first downs, 15 passing first downs. Indiana State did have 2 penalties that resulted in first downs. Purdue 0. Purdue outrushed Indiana State 248-101. But Indiana State attempted 43 rushes to Purdue's 31. Purdue 8 yards a pop on the ground.
Yeah.
That'll do.
Yeah.
3 rushing
touchdowns. One for like 60.
No, absolutely. 3 rushing touchdowns. Then through the air, like I said, Indiana State, oh, it was 5-for-10 for 50 yards. Purdue 30-for-35 for 335 yards, 9 yards per attempt, and 11.2 yards per completion, 4 touchdowns through the air. Yeah, Hudson Card, I don't care who you're playing. When you go 24-for-25, that's a hell of a day.
Yeah,
I don't care if you're playing a middle school defense. That was one of the sharper performances I've seen out of Purdue quarterback my entire life. 24-for-25, 273 yards, 4 touchdowns. His longest completion was 43 yards, and his one incompletion threw a good ball to Jamal Edrin. And
I think maybe he lost it in the sun.
Yeah,
yeah, because that would have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
Do you think if you and I stood about 20 yards apart, could we complete 25?
Absolutely not. Nope. Devin Mockby led the Boilers on the ground with 89 yards on 11 attempts, longest being 36 yards, 8.1 yards a carry. No TDs though. Elijah Jackson, the redshirt walk-on freshman, 83 yards on the ground on 3 attempts. Mm-hmm. Of course, 69 of those yards came on one run, which was the longest Purdue rushing attempt touchdown since Rondell Moore in 2018. He averaged 27.7 yards on the ground. Reggie Love, the third in his Boilermaker debut, at 39 yards on 7 carries in 1 touchdown, 5.4 yards a pop. Hudson Card got it done with his legs, too. 3 attempts for 21 yards.
He got a little nervous there a couple times.
Merriweather, the true freshman from Tennessee, had 2 yards on 4 attempts, 1 touchdown. Ryan Brown also had 13 yards on 3 rush attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So good day on the ground for the Boilers. Through the air, we already mentioned what Hudson Carr did. Ryan Brown also played 6-for-10 for 62 yards. He did take 1 sack, as did Hudson. Hudson took 1 sack as well. Receiving, Max Clair led the Boilers in yards with 71 yards and receptions with 5 receptions and 1 touchdown. His long reception was 43 yards. Jamal Edrin, a good debut for him in a Boilermaker uniform, 4 receptions for 59 yards. Leland Smith, the junior college transfer, had 2 receptions for 47 yards and a TD. Jerron Tibbs, the Indianapolis native sophomore, had 4 receptions for 30 yards and a TD. Nalen Morissette, the transfer from Georgia, 2 receptions for 27 yards and a touchdown. Jaden Dixon Veal, 2 receptions, 23 yards. Drew Bibber, 3 receptions, 21 yards. Andrew Stawinski, 2 receptions, 20 yards. Jesse Watson, 1 for 16. Oh, tired. Shamir Rigby, true freshman, 2 for 13. Devin Mockaby, 2 for 5. And George Berman, 1 for 3. So 12 different guys caught the ball for Purdue.
And 7 different guys scored. So every single touchdown was a different player, which is, I mean, usually you don't see that. I mean, obviously when you score 7 times, usually you're bound to repeat somebody, but
yep,
that's pretty cool.
Antonio Stevens was tied for the overall total leader in tackles with 7, along with Will Helt. Will Helt had 6 of those were solo. He also had 3 tackles for loss and 2 sacks.
I guess I missed his other sack. I know I the one because you called the one like right before.
Yeah, he just absolutely smoked that guy. I don't know how the quarterback held on to the ball there.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea.
Because on Instagram, if you look, he wasn't even looking at Helt. Like, I mean, shout out to quarterbacks that can do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can hang on to the ball like that. But Jeffrey Imba, 6 tackles. Kydron Jenkins, 4 tackles. Damari Lewis, 4 tackles. Sheeta Saleh, 3 tackles. Salam Turner Muhammad at 3 tackles. Good to see him finally suiting up for the Boilermakers.
Absolutely.
Kendrick Breedlove, Colorado transfer, 3 tackles. Whole bunch.
Dylan Thiemann,
only 2.
Which, because we kind of lived in their backfield, which was nice. Obviously, you kind of what you were hoping for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, they couldn't get it going. There's a couple times a QB was able to, kind of what we saw last year quite a bit was, on a read play, quarterback was able to kind of break out and get, I think the longest run was 20 yards by the quarterback. So you wonder about that, because obviously there's going to be a lot more quarterbacks in the Big Ten that can do that. I know we kind of saw that in last year. Syracuse's quarterback just absolutely torched us with that all day long. So hopefully that's something, I don't know if that's just a scheme thing or what. But
Riley Leonard's pretty good at that. He's pretty good at running. That's one thing. I watched the majority of their game against A&M, which got to give flowers where flowers are due. Heck of a win by Notre Dame and one of the tougher places to play in the country. I didn't think Leonard was very impressive passing the ball, but he can get done on his feet with his legs when needed. Ray Davis here on Facebook. Ever watching Indy? Do we zone or go man against their receivers? Our tight ends have to have a big game against Indy. Indy's secondary is very impressive. Yeah, Notre Dame's secondary is one of the fastest secondaries I've ever seen in college. I mean, they're seasoned veterans. They know the system. Purdue's wide receiving corps is going to have to be on top of their game for Purdue to have a chance. Offensively, Notre Dame threw the air, and this is probably going to bite me, like I just said, doesn't worry me as much as they do on the ground. They're Jeremiah Love, and I can't think of their other running back off the top of my head, his name. They're speedy backs. Of course, I mean, I know Notre Dame's got talent everywhere. Don't get me wrong, but I'd go man-to-man with them. Walters likes to go man more times than not anyways and mix up a lot of looks, blitz looks. Our linebackers got to be the key, I think. To the game against Notre Dame. But, I mean, we'll talk much more detail next week since Purdue doesn't have a game to recap next week, and we'll be strictly focused on the battle for the Shillelagh taking place at Ross A for the first time since 2013. But my main key right now, of course, is Purdue's got to get a lead early. Notre Dame's a team they cannot go down 2 or more scores to, or you're going to be not against that defense. You can't play catch up.
Yeah. And you want to get, I mean, especially with being at home, you got to give the fans something to cheer about. If you're, like I said, if you're down 2 scores in the third quarter, you're risking, people kind of just checking out. It's a, 3:30 game, so we'll be getting over, late in the evening, people might try to make their dinner reservations a little early. So hopefully I'm excited for that game. I was thinking today, I was going to the gym. I'm not sure why, but I was just like, man, it's going to feel really good. Probably more next week when it's game week, but I'm like, it's going to feel really good to bring up the hate I have for this team because I haven't had a chance to really flex it in the last decade. One, because we sucked last time we actually played them. I mean, I obviously played a couple years ago, but it was at Notre Dame, so it was a little tougher and it was going to be a right. taller task. But man, it was just something growing up in Northern Indiana about Notre Dame week.
Oh, I still like, hate them.
I've kind of stopped over the years because it's like, you know, I hated them, but like, you know, we don't play them, so it's, you know, one thing. But now I'm just like, they're going to get them in our house. Like, man, I cannot wait to. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I wish the rivalry never would have stopped, even though more times than not, we've seen Notre Dame beat Purdue.
Yeah.
But it's a rivalry. It's too bad it stopped. I'm glad it's going to continue for the next 6 years. And you know, the smart thing is probably schedule another MAC school or somebody like that. But if you can get Notre Dame on schedule, you take it. It really is, in a way, Purdue Super Bowl. I mean, I'm not afraid to admit it. So
it is, yeah.
Going back to the box score, a few other things I wanted to talk about. Dylan Thienemann did return three punts for a total yardage of 29. I thought he did a pretty good job in his first game doing that. Purdue did not attempt any field goals, but they were 7-for-7. The freshman, Spencer Porath, 7-for-7 for extra points. We'll take that all year long. And Ben Freehill on 8 kickoff attempts. He had 4 of them go to touchback. Take that as well. And then the punting duties, Keelan Crimmins in his Boilermaker debut had 3 punts for 140 yards, average of 46.7 with a long being 54. He did have 1 touchback, 1 50 plus, like I said, 54 yards, and 1 inside the 20.
So, I thought special teams look good compared to what we saw last year. I think it's really good when you just don't really notice anything goes wrong.
Exactly.
Which is a good thing. Like, you don't know that you typically don't know the long snapper's name until he absolutely botches something. But so I hope we don't have to see that. But I thought they were pretty sharp, which is always good because that's one of those, again, if they can, may not win you games, but they can definitely cost you games.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about penalties now. Indiana State had 2 penalties for 16 yards, Purdue had 11 for 110. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those penalties, of those 11, we lost huge yardage on them because we gained huge yardage. I mean, I think if you take some of those penalties away, Purdue has about 200 yards more in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. And all those passes that then they were called back, like there's a few. Yeah. Like Max Clair had some big gains that were called back. All offensive, you know, like it's a lot of offensive holding, you know, from our angle, we couldn't see. So it was hard to tell. And I haven't gone back and like seen any sort of.
You haven't watched tape.
I have not watched tape. No, I have not. But you wonder, like, is that a, you know, is that just, you know, officials trying to, you know, get it out early just to kind of like, you know, as we kind of see a lot in like, you know, non-conference basketball where refs are calling things a lot tighter just that way, you know, towards the end of the year, it's not getting out of control. And, you know, you want to do that if I'm doing that with football, I have no idea. But it was after that was kind of frustrating. She's like, man, if our line's having issues containing Indiana State, God help us against Notre Dame.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. And I know my dad made a comment to me. I don't know if it was during the game or after the game. And he's like, you know, the more we hold, I'm nervous the refs are going to, you know, because refereeing, I'm assuming, and I know you were intramural referee, so maybe you could weigh in here. I'm assuming it's a pretty tight-knit community, and they probably talk. And, you know, if word spreads around, hey, Purdue holds a lot, refs are going to look for that more times than not. So
absolutely. I mean, you hear all the time of, like, you know, they have scouting reports on these teams too. You know, refs, you know, officials, they, you know, they do their homework on teams. So when they, especially football refs, when you have actually a whole week to prepare, unlike basketball refs, where you're going to be traveling all across the freaking country in 4 different days. I digress. You know, these guys, I mean, like that's, I mean, they get scouting reports on every single team, and these crews know, like, you know, what teams do certain things. So yeah, if this happens, keeps happening, Purdue's going to have that stigma of, you know, watch these guys for holding. One that I mean, obviously, in like the holding, but again, I couldn't tell. But the one that really irked me was the passer or the roughing the passer.
Roughing the passer.
Because I was just like, I don't know what you're expected to do. I mean, he's already like, I mean, he, it's like, I always go back to like, it's physics. Like, you can't, like, when you're driving at this guy, like, you can't just pull yourself up when you're airborne or whatever. Yeah, you're driving. I mean, it just drives me nuts.
I get for player safety, but so 100%. Dumb when they implemented this rule in college and the NFL, the all force, all weight force. I don't know how you don't. It just doesn't make sense. You know, I'm all for of no blows to the head, even with if it's by the hand or helmet to helmet. That's what I thought maybe happened at first. Then they showed a replay. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Thad Moody here on Facebook. Few of the flags were warranted for holes. Few were the holes that happen every play. If you want to call it and be petty. Yeah. That's,
I've always said call holding every single time. So
every single play, offense and defense, if you really want to. So, we'll be glad to get some other guys back that weren't in action. Corey Stewart, starting left tackle, should be back. Two starters, presumably starters that were not in action. Neyland Green, transfer cornerback from Georgia, and C.J. Smith, transfer wide receiver from Georgia, were out of action. And interesting enough, Ryan Walters to the media said today, if there was a game this week, they would not be cleared. So thank goodness, got another week of rest. That does kind of scare me with both those guys, to be honest.
Especially C.J., because it's a hamstring for him, and those hamstrings can be super
we've
finicky.
We've seen it.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just one of things where it's just nagging and all that. But, I hope to get those guys back, because that'd be – I mean, you hear, you know, when Walter says Smith is the fastest player he's ever been around, like, and never going up against this, you know, super speedy Notre Dame secondary, that could be crucial to take the top off the defense.
And what do you think you were talking about Walters, and it just made me think of Graham Harrell, who I thought called a good game. And a lot of this was hard to tell because it's Indiana State, not only Indiana State, a one-win Indiana State team from last year, or team coming off one win last year, I should say. No, it's a different team. But I don't think Purdue showed everything.
No.
The coaches can say all they want. They've been prepping for this Notre Dame game for months.
Oh yeah, yeah. They get it. They get it, which is cool. It's like you appreciate the coaches that understand. Like, you know, this is gonna be their first Notre Dame Purdue rivalry, and
yeah,
so it's cool. They kind of get how much this means to the fans. That's usually what all these rivalries are. It means more to the fans than anything, for the most part, I should say. I think, like, obviously they show some stuff. I think Tom DeNard even said, like, you know, they want to show enough to get these opposing coaches thinking, but you don't. Sure. I mean, I was talking to my dad over the weekend of, like, you know, Tiller was famous for never showing the whole playbook until that Notre Dame game. So it's usually the second or third game. And then, you know, he just absolutely blow the playbook open on him. So you got to think that, cause we didn't see anything really too crazy.
No trick plays. Yeah. No. Nothing like that.
Yeah. It seems pretty vanilla, but still, like, it showed enough that, you know, we can spread the ball around. So hopefully they have a lot to look at in their scouting report. For the receiving core and even the running back tandem.
Yep. And I thought it was interesting. Walters today was asked if he's ever faced Notre Dame. He said he, when he was assistant at Oklahoma, so that would have been, I think, 2012, because I remember Notre Dame going over there and going into Norman and beating them that year on their way to the national championship game, which they got smoked by Alabama. But he said, other than that, no. He said he knows Marcus through, you know, just here and there things. Yeah. Coaches, tight-knit community. And, you know, a lot of people are bringing up the, well, you know, Marcus Freeman used to coach here. Yes, he did. But he was a defensive assistant for 2013 to 2016. So it wasn't like he was a coordinator. It wasn't like he was head coach, you know.
Was he not a coordinator by the end of it? Was he not a coordinator, or at least like a co-coordinator by the end?
He might have been a co-coordinator.
Because he was linebacker's coach originally, and then he was a linebacker's
co-coordinator
by the end.
It's still impressive. It's impressive. He and a lot of those staff members have continued to have successful coaching careers after that dumpster fire that was those 4 years. But, like, I'm sure he'll be asked about it. He'll say good things. He's a classy dude.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, it's not like he's going back to Ohio State or, you know, anything like that.
It says, according to his Wikipedia page, from 2013 to 2015, he was just linebacker's coach. And then 2016, he was co-DC and then linebacker's coach. And then he was defensive coordinator at Cincinnati from 2017 to 2020.
That's right.
And linebacker's coach. And then he was also defensive coordinator at Notre Dame.
I couldn't remember where he went between Purdue and Notre Dame, Cincinnati. Yeah, that's right. Fickle. That's right.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about next week, but I love Marcus Freeman. I mean, he was the one bright spot on my coaching staff for those dark days of Purdue football. One that we hoped that we could maybe keep with the next when the eventual Brohm staff. We knew that was probably a pipe dream. It means more to Purdue fans. It's gonna be for him because again, it's just kind of like
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't enjoy it. I mean, this is going to be the fullest he'll see Ross Aid this entire time. So, yeah. But yeah, he's a,
he's a good dude, but I still root against him just because he goes to Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I want him to go somewhere else. Like, I like him a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a video of him right before they ran out on the field against Texas A&M. And he just like, it kind of the same with Walters too. Like, you just see these guys, like, they're, I mean, again, they're young. I mean, Freeman's 38 years old. They get it. You know, they're not too far removed from their playing days. Like,
yep.
Just like them, like, hyping up the team. And you can tell, like, they were just like, they wanted to run out there and go hit somebody. So yeah.
That's why they recruit well. That's why they recruit well. They can connect with these guys. And I love, like, you know, and shout out to the Purdue football social media team. Doing great job so far, like they always do. But I love at halftime, you know, Walters, what's score? 0-0. Who we playing? Doesn't matter. Like that's the focus, because they know that I love that mindset, because everybody knows the strength of schedule. Everybody knows the opponents. So you just have that mindset. Doesn't matter who we play. Got to go out and get the job done, have more points on the board than the opposition. So yeah, all good. All good things. But yeah, man, I don't have really anything else. Shout out to Section 122, Ross Aid. Loud like always. It was a beautiful day, and it was great to be back. And I'm already upset there's only 5 more. I told you, I'm like, man, I wish. I like when we have 7 home games instead of 6.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because at the end of September, they'll be half over.
You only get one in October and then 2 in the cold month of November.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is what it is, though. Is what it is.
And the one in October is not an easy opponent either.
It's a Friday night. We don't even get a Saturday October
game. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but hey, they did not look that great against Idaho, it was weird. You look at the stats, you're like, how'd this team not win by 30? They won by 10. Mm-hmm. It was a weird game. Of course, right when I flipped it over, they took a double digit lead. That was that.
Yeah.
It was strange. Yeah. College football, you never know. But the Big Ten as a whole went 17-1. You know, Boat Boy up there, PJ. Couldn't get it done against Mac Brown.
No. So. They did lose their North Carolina lost their quarterback. Never mind. Not Minnesota. Never mind.
Yes. Now, Minnesota got new quarterback transfer from New Hampshire this year.
Yep.
So, which is probably familiar with their opponent this week of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of the Big Ten, let's go around and see what we got this week. Still not a great slate of games, but some that are a little more compelling, I think, than week one. Starting off with a matchup in Bloomington, Friday night, 7 o'clock. There's no line on this. 0-1 Western Illinois, Leathernecks versus the 1-0 Indiana Hoosiers. Got to think Indiana rolls in this one.
Oh, yeah. Whatever the spread is going to be, they'll cover it. Yeah.
Next week, Indiana goes out to the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's UCLA next week, who did not look impressive against Hawaii whatsoever. But they got the win. That's all that matters. And they got the win. So. Also, Friday night, you got 1-0 Duke Blue Devils. Head coach there is Manny Diaz at Northwestern.
That's right. I forgot he went there.
Yeah. He left Penn State as a DC to go there after a failed head coaching stint at Miami. Northwestern's 2.5-point favorite here. And this is a football game. It's not a spelling bowl, a math bowl, anything like that. It's a football game.
And Northwestern finally got the monkey off their back. That is Miami of Ohio.
3-3.5.
I didn't even see the end of that score. I just saw 13-6.
Yeah, woof. Let's see. 13-6. It was 3-3.5. Yeah. Ooh. I like Northwestern this one, though.
Yeah, I'll just because they're at home. And the stadium looks pretty cool. I mean, their temporary stadium is, and someone says the most Northwestern thing ever to build something that's actually really, really cool. Only to, we know they're just going to tear it down when they build the new stadium.
Our good friend who's a Illinois basketball fan and says he's not an Illinois football fan, but he said it is like Northwestern have a beautiful backdrop and then the rest of it look like a county fair.
Yeah.
Like stands you'd see at a county fair or something.
Yeah. I'll take Northwestern.
A big game here at noon, Fox big noon game. Texas, who's says ranked number 4, but I know they moved up to number 3 in the AP, and Michigan actually fell to number 10 in the AP. Texas at Michigan, Texas 7.5-point favorite.
I'm going to take Texas. And Michigan did not look impressive in their opener. Again, you're breaking in, new quarterback, new head coach.
No Connor Stallions. What?
Yeah, that? Texas looked pretty good. So, I'm gonna take the Longhorns. I'm gonna say they barely cover though.
I'll take the Longhorns by about 14. I think they're pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Bowling Green at number 8 Penn State, who's a 34.5 point favorite. I think they roll.
I think they do too. I saw the over under 40.5. I thought that was the line. I was like, good Lord, but they're right to each other. Yeah, I think they roll.
Rutgers 22.5 point favorites at home against Akron. Good for Akron, just cashing those checks, playing Ohio State and Rutgers back to back.
Yep. Rutgers, they
Shiano's got some energy going in that program. Yeah, they had a pretty full crowd the other night.
Turned me into a little bit of a believer. I think Rutgers, I'm going to say they cover that.
Yep. I think PJ Flex, real glad they have Rhode Island this week after losing to UNC, and I look for the Gophers to get a win.
Absolutely. Same.
Wisconsin at home against South Dakota. Wisconsin survived a scare from the Western Michigan Broncos. Wisconsin rolls in this one.
I think, they roll in that one.
Washington, 25-point favorite at home against Eastern Michigan. I think they take care of business against the Green Eagles. Is that what they're, the Green Eagles? Or just the Eagles?
Yeah, they have a gray field. That's all I know.
yeah. Thanks to Max Crosby. Yeah. Good in-state matchup here. Iowa State at number 25. I believe they moved up to 22 in the AP poll. Iowa's a 2.5-point favorite.
Iowa, after putting up a 40 burger on it was Illinois State, but yeah, it didn't take them 8 overtimes to do it either. I'll take the home team. Kinnick will be rocking for that game.
That's a 3:30 CBS game.
Yeah, 3:30 CBS. The total is 35.5.
I think the over.
I'm gonna take the over on that. Yeah.
Yep. I think it'll be good. It's always a pretty good game between those two.
Yeah.
So, Big Ten matchup here: Michigan State at Maryland. Maryland 8.5-point favorite. I'm going to take the Terps. I think Michigan State got lucky against Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Who did the Terps? They beat somebody pretty badly.
Killed UConn.
I'm going to take Maryland.
Yeah. Number 22, Kansas, who actually, once again, moved up to 19 in the AP poll today at Illinois. Kansas is a 5-point favorite.
Illinois, they can score some points. I know our good buddy who says he's an Illinois fan says that their defense was questionable and they held Eastern Illinois to nothing. So, obviously, this is a much bigger test.
Got to think they'll have a good crowd there. I mean,
yeah, I'll just to be different, I'll take Illinois on this one. I don't want to, but
I'll take the Jayhawks. I like Daniels, their quarterback. He can make things happen with his legs and his arm. So, Western Michigan, another program that just cashing those checks after going to Camp Randall. They now go to the Horseshoe, take on number 2 Ohio State, who's 38-point favorites.
If this is anything like when
I played them on a college football 25, it's going to be about 45-7. So.
I don't think Western Michigan holds. I guess another question, did Wahlberg get ejected in the second half of that game? Or was it the first half?
I think it was the first half.
Okay, so he's good to play.
Shout out to
Purdue, former Purdue player.
Yeah, Jacob Wahlberg.
And then his backup was Dominic Moon, another playmaker. I think Ohio State, I think they're on a mission.
They're pretty focused, I think. I'll be tuning into this one Saturday night. Colorado at Nebraska. Nebraska's 7.5-point favorite. This game's a 7:30 on NBC. And this is an old Big 8, Big 12 rivalry. I don't like Nebraska, but I'm going to be cheering hard for them because besides Notre Dame and Indiana, Colorado is right next on my teams I root against because they are so damn arrogant.
Yeah, and I hate that. Like, I watched that Colorado game too.
Yeah,
from last week. Like, I hate that I was watching it and cheering. I should not care because I really didn't care last year because I was actually like kind of on like the Dion train in the beginning. It's like, oh, this is cool. Like, it shakes things up, and then it that train derailed pretty quickly. I was like, I hate all of this.
They went 4-8, and you would have thought they made the playoff.
Yeah, and then like Nebraska, like obviously it was fun to hate Scott Frost because he was just a prick and couldn't get out of his own way. Matt Rhule comes in. I like Matt Rhule. I mean, he's a good coach. I was like, okay, you know, this could be something.
I think we got a QB to hate now, though, for four,
I think,
three
yeah,
or four years.
I was like, I think it went, a whole season, like, I didn't really hate them. And then I was like, ah, whatever. And then, yeah, I saw the whole thing about him, Mahomes comparison. I was like, all right, I'm not liking this. And I was talking my sales rep's he's an Indiana guy, but he's an Ohio State fan. And we were talking today about Nebraska because that kid did, he was committed to Ohio State, committed, then he decommitted, went to committed to Georgia, decommitted, and committed to, Nebraska, and yeah, apparently he played for three different high schools, all in three different states. So he's definitely seems like a diva. Yeah. But yeah, I'll be cheering for Nebraska, and I hope to God they just absolutely whoop him.
I think they get it done at home. That play is gonna be rocking. I think they get it. And Colorado's got great offense. I mean, Shadir, I don't care for him, but he is talented. Travis Hunter's a dude on both sides of the ball.
He's a top five pick. He's got
he's
right.
a dude.
Yeah.
I can't stand on Deion's already saying they're gonna Eli. Be like Eli with Shadir and Travis Hunter and kind of dictate where they go. Like, all right. But don't worry about Shiloh getting drafted. At least he'll day three if he does. That dude gets personal foul on defense every game. And Colorado's gotta shape up their defense a little bit if they want to try to knock off some of these opponents. And Ted Berkey here on YouTube, Deion feels like he recruits athletes and expects to beat everyone because they are so athletic without having any coaching or even a plan.
Yeah, I mean, he's got Warren Sapp on his
Warren Sapp
staff.
You got Terrell T.O. just hanging
just
out.
On the sidelines. It's
Bill Goldberg was on the sidelines. I know his son's a walk-on freshman, but it's like, come on, they can sit up with the parents. Like, come on, come on.
But yeah, go Big Red. The one time,
only time
I'll
say
that.
Except that they're playing Indiana.
Yeah, but yeah, hopefully they just whoop them.
Boise State at number 7, Oregon. Oregon fell 4 spots in the poll. Oregon's 19.5-point favorite. I think they cover. I think they're going to be focused. I wouldn't have wanted to be a Duck football player this week in practice.
No. God, no. Nope.
And Utah State at number 13, USC, who moved up 10 spots after
beating
LSU. Yeah, Miller Moss looked good.
It
was weird watching a big-time game like that and kind of keeping tabs just for the sake of the conference.
Yeah. What about the fact that Washington played at 11 o'clock on Saturday? And it was like, oh, this is a 10 game. Pour one out for Pac-12 after dark.
Yep.
We didn't know what we had.
No, we didn't. Looking around the country, Arkansas 1-0 travels to number 17, Oklahoma State, who's 1-0 and a 7.5-point favorite.
You said Arkansas, Oklahoma State. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Mike Gundy and the boys.
Yeah, I think Ollie Gordon runs for 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Northern Illinois, led by Ethan Hampton, throwing 5 TDs against Western Illinois, traveled to number five. I think they moved up 2 spots. Notre Dame, who's a 28.5-point favorite. I know you got a soft spot for your Huskies there, Webby, but I don't see them covering.
No, if there's any like our dynasty and EA College Football 25, this game is going to be over very quickly for the Huskies.
Baylor at number 12, Utah. I think Utah covers that 14-point spread.
Yeah, I think so too.
South Florida, can they cover the 31-point spread out of Alabama? I don't think so.
No, nope.
Not
even a spread for the Miami, Florida, which, man. Talk about Florida. Talking about coach who's, I mean, both two Florida schools that are kind of already freaking out. You got Florida State, who's like, I'm already 0-2 in conference play, which is wild.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for a worse start.
And then Florida just got absolutely curb stomp at home by
Billy Napier's in trouble.
I'm not sure he makes it through the season.
Yep.
Does it make it to Halloween? Is the question.
Big step up from the Louisiana Raging Cajuns, and not going good. Mitch Melton on Facebook, you could have watched Big Ten football for 12 straight hours Saturday. It was a little weird. Yeah. And that's going to be a constant theme, I think, going forward. So, heck, there'll be basketball Saturdays. You can do that too going forward. So, welcome to college athletics in 2024.
Why couldn't this be a thing when we were in school when it was like we go out to the bar on like Saturday and it was like all the good games are done, or like we go out at 10 or whatever and the one game's kind of wrapping up. We don't really care because the other game's not going to start for another hour. It's like, if this was Big Ten, it'd be incredible.
Yep. We do have a top 25 matchup this week. Number 15 Tennessee and number 24 God. North Carolina State, who struggled in their opening game. Tennessee's 8-point favorite on the road.
I think it's actually played at the Panthers Stadium.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I looked it up because
you're right. Bank of America Stadium. Yep, in Charlotte.
Yeah. So. Yep. Yeah, I think Tennessee's
pretty good.
Yeah, Nico, he's a hell of a quarterback. Yeah, unfortunately, but I think Tennessee covers that easily.
And last one, anyway, Sean Clark, former offensive line coach for the Boilers under Danny Hope. Anyway, is Appalachian State Mountaineers cover the 17-point spread at number 14, 17.5-point spread at number 14, Clemson. Clemson's 0-1. Probably going to be a little mad.
Yeah, and their offense looked awful doing it. you know what? I'm going to say yes.
I love it. I hope they do. I always go for Sean Clark. He's a good dude, and he's done a good job at App State. They could be a potential team. They might have to win a game like this, though, but they could be a potential team to get in the playoff.
Yeah, that's what I see.
Yep. But I'll take Clemson to cover just to be different. So, I know we don't have a ton more to talk about Webby, but you know what I like to do once in a while to fill some time? I like to do Purdue football trivia.
Oh, boy.
Let me get to this comment real quick. That Moody on Facebook, Sanders, kids go pro, Deion goes and coaches at Florida State, and perks of a broken wing and a sling. I did watch Big Ten for 12 hours on Saturday. Yes, Thad's had a tear in his shoulder, so he's recovering for that. I'm right there with you. Deion could pitch and say he's going to stay at Colorado, but both of his kids gone after this year, and his third kid, Travis Hunter, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to stay. I don't know. But I got a whole different list here of Purdue football quizzes, and you can choose one. I'll go through a few of them, and you can choose. We got Purdue football opponents from 2000 to 2010. We got most common Purdue football opponents of all time. We got Purdue football wins from 2000 to 2011. We got 2010's Purdue football statistical leaders. Purdue football opponents, that's of all time. Purdue football all-time stat leaders. And I'll let you choose any of those you want.
Let's do... What was the one of the first ones? It's like 2000 opponents. Or what was it?
It was Purdue football opponents from 2000 through 2010.
Let's do that one. I'm not feeling confident, but why not?
All right.
My formative years, so let's see.
I've taken most of these. I don't know how I did on them, but I've taken most of these. So there's 136. You get 10 minutes.
Oh my God. Screen here. Okay. It's one of these. Holy crap.
But I think it's like if you name Indiana, it's gonna take Indiana like 10 right away. Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
It's
I'll
all
share my screen so you can see it.
Okay.
You can see it. Includes bowl games too. Okay.
This is a great for an audio format.
I know. This is why audio people, you gotta go check us out on YouTube. So let's see if I can zoom in the screen a little bit here. Zoom. Oh, I just saw it. Darn it. Zoom. Can you see that better?
Yeah.
A little better. All right. When you're ready, tell me when.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's roll.
All right. Indiana.
Hey, 11 right off the bat.
Yeah, Notre Dame. Wisconsin. Iowa. Nebraska. We can do the whole Big Ten West. Why not?
Not Nebraska, because it goes to 2010.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So 2000 to 2010.
Penn State. Illinois. I said Iowa. Michigan State. It's going to be Michigan first, probably. Yeah, Michigan State.
Yeah, I got you. You're going to get that one anyways.
Ohio State.
Jeez.
Oh, I know Bowling Green was one in like 03 that we lost 26
Oh,
points
yeah. Never beat them in the history of Purdue football.
All right.
There's some years right
Rose
there.
Rose Bowl, that was Washington.
Got them twice. Also, Sun Bowl.
Yeah.
02.
Kansas State was another bowl team that we played.
That was in 98.
Oh, son of a gun. Sun Bowl, we lost 27. I'm going to skip that. I don't really care about that right now. Capital Bowl, that was Georgia. I'm missing some Big Ten teams. Okay. Northwestern. Okay. Indiana State on there. We played them probably at least a couple times, right? No. Oh.
Yeah, it took it somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Took it in Toledo. 06.
Toledo.
Yep.
Middle Tennessee State.
That was that was 2011.
Gosh dang it. Syracuse.
Good pull.
Yeah.
That was back in 04. Good pull.
Yep. That was a Sunday game. Yep. Ball State.
51-0. There it is. Yep. You've almost All got right. the you've got the whole 04 except the Sun Bowl that year.
Who did we lose to in the Sun Bowl? This is going to make me really mad.
We watched this game together at a mutual friend's house.
Who was the friend?
Monty Hoffman.
Okay. Yeah. Was that Arizona? Okay.
Well, Arizona State? There you go.
Okay. I was going to say, I thought it was like a.
Well, you got Arizona twice there in 03
yeah,
and 05.
Yeah. Okay. Scroll up for a second. Let's go to.
Yep, sorry.
Man.
Still missing a couple of Big Ten teams, or at least one that I can think of.
Okay, so I've got Northwestern. So I've got Wisconsin, Iowa, Northwestern, Illinois, Michigan, Michigan State, Indiana, Ohio State, Penn State. Who am I missing? People are screaming at me, I'm sure. okay. I'm seeing the map in my head, which is what's making me mad. Minnesota. Gosh.
There you go.
Okay.
I think you got all the Big Ten teams, so now you got a lot of season openers.
Yeah. And bowl games. All right. Scroll down all the way to the bottom there.
Yep.
Trying to think here. Maybe ring a bell.
Yeah, I got a few in my head now that I look at scores.
Yeah. I got Indiana State, right?
Right.
Yep. Okay. So that was what, 06? We played them?
Yep.
Ball State. Did we play Northern Illinois in any of these? Oh, I know another one. Okay. I've got another one.
Yes, lost okay. Northern Illinois 28-21-09.
Wake Forest was another one. Spelled Forest.
Yes,
wrong.
It was. Yep. There it goes. That was 02 and 03. Lost to them in 02, 24-21. Beat them in 03. Ranked went road win 16-10.
Yep.
So you got 03. You got the complete 03 schedule.
So is a Sun Bowl, was that a Pac-12 team?
Yes.
Okay. Washington State.
Bingo.
With them. Okay. Pulled that out of nowhere. 18 more. Okay. So I've
got
to be.
So you got the home opener in 03. You got the third game of the year in 02, excuse me. 02. You got the first two games in 2000. You got the first two games in 01. 04 is completed. You got the home opener in 05, which we talked about earlier in this podcast.
Oregon
was 08 and 09.
Yep.
So you got 09 filled.
What were we saying about 08 home opener?
I said 05. We talked about the home opener in 05 earlier in this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Akron. No. Yes.
Yep. Got to think MAC schools for a lot of these.
Yep. Miami, Ohio.
Yep. First overtime game in Ross State history. 38-31 win in 06.
Got Toledo.
Why I remember that?
You
should get this one. Champ Sports Bowl. We watched this one in your basement.
Oh, that was Maryland. Yeah. Yep. We missed the only score.
Yes, we did.
What was the 35-42 loss?
Yeah, that was the rare 13-game season.
Hawaii.
Yeah, that was stayed up to 2 in the morning for nothing.
I think I watched it the next day. Okay, I got 11 more. Three. Okay. And in Miami, Ohio, have we played? We played Kent State.
Yep, that was back in 2000.
Okay.
Rose Bowl team being 45-10. You need the season opener in 2000.
Okay. I'm trying to get other MAC schools. Eastern Michigan.
No.
Okay. Western Michigan.
Yes, that was right there. 28-24 win in 02. I do not remember that game at all.
Should have been one of the bowls too, right? Scroll down.
2011.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was the year that we played them like 300 times. Western Michigan. Have I said Eastern? I said Eastern Michigan. For MAC schools, who have I lost to on EA College Football? God. Okay. Nine more.
You should, this one, I mean, it's 52-6 game in 07. You, myself, Andrew Eiler, your dad, and Andrew's dad went to this. It was a rained out or rain
delay game. I thought that was Middle Tennessee. Is that Eastern Illinois?
There you go.
Okay, I remember the blue and silver, and I thought that was Eastern. I thought it was Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, Jake Stander for a block.
That's yeah, for some reason, I remember that always as Middle Tennessee State. You know, I know that was the home opener in 2011 when we needed a block extra point or field goal.
Yep.
Oh. Sorry, my computer just flipped screens on me.
Still got home opener in 2000, 2001. In 2002. Actually, 2001 was on the road. Excuse me. I do remember.
Was on a road.
Yeah.
Was it a Power Five?
They are now. They weren't at the time. They were pretty good. They were pretty good non-Power Four. No Utah.
Pretty good non-Power Four.
In the Midwest. Also, I've mentioned them on this podcast at one point. Dang it.
In the Midwest, weren't a Power Four. Now they are. Oh man, clock's ticking. This is gonna make me so mad. I'm trying to think of those other just random teams that we played. What was I missing? 2007. 2008, that should be one that I remember pretty well, but I just don't. That would have been my senior year, so I feel like I should know that one. Of high school. Gosh, dang it, I'm going to miss eight. It's going to be the most frustrating thing in the world. Did you get all these?
I think I did. Yeah, I don't remember. I took this a long time ago. Like 2000, though, I can't even think of who the first game was 2000. I think I know all the best.
Have we played Kentucky at all?
We haven't. But yeah. 2000 was Central Michigan.
Central Michigan. Gosh.
2001 was Cincinnati. That's what I was trying to.
Okay.
Illinois State in 02.
Central Michigan.
Central Michigan again in 2007.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. I had Western Michigan in
again in 2008. Yep.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I thought we played Western Michigan four times. It was no Central Michigan. In Northern Colorado, I would not have gotten that
Northern
one.
Colorado and then Western Illinois. That was Keith Smith tore his knee that game.
So, okay.
Yeah. So no, you did really good. You did really good. You got 94. Average score is 88, which that's one of the higher average scores I've seen. On a quiz. So good job, Webby, for impromptu, no studying, no nothing. You did
Central Michigan. Gosh, it's going to that pissed
Dan LeFever, man.
Yeah,
Dan LeFever.
In my head, just like it's like East Illinois was Middle Tennessee State, Central Michigan was Western Michigan.
You're,
in my head,
you're going over MAC teams in your head. I'm like, he's gonna get it eventually.
Yeah, completely forgot what Chip was.
Chip was. Yep. Yep. Yeah, maybe if the podcast episodes are slow from a time to time, we'll throw some quizzes, man.
I like that.
They got some fun basketball ones too. They got some fun basketball ones on there too. So, any closing thoughts, Webby, as we wrap up what's been a fun podcast talking about a Boiler victory?
Yeah, I mean it was a great time being in Ross Aid. It's just good. Yeah, good to walk out with a Boilermaker victory. What winning record is this? Walter's first winning record, technically.
Yes.
Yep. Because he obviously took a couple. We were 1-1 last year. No, it was just great. It sucks we don't have a game this week, but I'm all for getting these guys healthy.
Yeah, I'm same way. I'm like, I got so juiced up that then now it's like no game this week. But same time, I'm like, if it means we got a better chance of upsetting Notre Dame, I'm all for it.
Yep, 100%.
So. But before we log off, we got to pay some bills.
We do.
We got to pay some bills, and we got to give a shout-out to both of our wonderful sponsors, the first being Mad Mushroom. Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, serving Boilermakers since 1993. Mad Mushroom is located in the heart of West Lafayette and is well-known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever myself, Andrew, who couldn't join us tonight, or Webby visit, we like to sit down and have an ice-cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which is a brand-new month. September, so you know what that means, a brand new pizza of the month. We have Carl's Spicy Barbecue Chicken. It's Mad Mushroom's house-blended spicy barbecue sauce topped with chicken, cup and char pepperoni, onions, and mozzarella and cheddar cheeses, starting at a price of $14. So next time you are in West Lafayette, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener and viewer can also use the coupon code BREAK5, that's all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom, feed your head. I want one of those Carl's spicy barbecue chicken pizzas.
Yeah, I have not had dinner tonight, so I was
I have, and I'm still hungry.
I was not hungry before this pod, but I just got real hungry now.
Yeah, that's, oh man, that's right up my alley. Yep. Yes, sir. So. Hey, we got one more sponsor. I know we had 59,499 or something like that, 449. I don't know what I said earlier. People in Ross Aid, I might have botched that number completely. But they would look even better showing up at the Notre Dame game if they had something from the shop.
Absolutely. The shop has been bringing, you know, hometown apparel to the fans since 2011. They are Boilermaker owned. Alex over at the shop, one of the co-owners, he's a proud Purdue grad. They've been doing awesome things over the years. This is a couple years in with us now. We're glad to have them. I'm wearing one of the first football shirts I bought from the shop a couple years ago.
One of my hats.
They've now got 3 retail locations. So if you're in the Indianapolis area, they got one in Carmel, one in Broad Ripple, now they got one downtown. So wherever you're at in Indy, they've got you covered. Always having deals online, but if you want a deal, if you go to theshopindy.com, use promo code BREAKDOWN. You get 25% off.
Yeah, can't beat that. They make very comfortable shirts.
Mm-hmm. Sweatshirts, drinkware, stickers. Yep. Yeah. I mean, and it's for all things Indiana, where it's universities. Actually, it's even brought on Ohio State. I'm sure that'll be a big bump
for them. Cincinnati baseball.
Yep. So, well, you're a Pacers fan. They had some cool stuff for the All-Star game this year. Or I guess this Fever? Past season, technically.
A lot of cool Fever stuff.
Yeah, just all around good people, good quality stuff. It's worth the money, and check them out.
100%. Well, Webby, it's been fun. Looking forward to chopping up next week, getting ready for the battle for the Shillelagh against the Irish. But for now, let's boiler up, hammer down, and win the bye week.
Get healthy. Boiler up.